Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee. Oh, how very different it is when we delight ourselves in the Lord instead of delighting ourselves in the desires of our hearts. How often when we run after things, even spiritual things, that prove to be will-o'-the-wisp, you can never grasp them, you never get them. It's like the basket of hay that's hung in front of a donkey that won't move. He keeps moving then because he wants that hay, but he never reaches it. That's the only thing that makes him move. That's the only thing that makes some people move. We talk about a Pentecostal movement, and what makes people move? Well, until they have spoken in tongues according to Acts 2:4, they move and then they stop moving. Or until they have a healing that they need, they keep moving and then they stop. Or if they have an evangelistic service, a revival meeting, then they move and then they have a revival, a Pentecostal movement. But as soon as that stops, as soon as that's not hung before their vision, why then they stop moving. But it's a very, very different thing when I have fallen in love with Jesus Christ so much that I count everything, including my spirituality, but refuge. Everything has to go. Thank God my heart is attached to absolutely nobody and absolutely nothing. Have you discovered what an idolater you are when you have ceased praying your rosary, then you pray something else? And when you have ceased worshiping Mary or Saint Sebastian, then you begin worshiping yourself or some preacher or some evangelist or some movement or some doctrine or some book or something. And God says, don't worship them. Don't fall down before them. I'm a jealous God. Jesus Christ wants my whole attention to be riveted in him alone, because he is he, because Jesus is Jesus. And the Apostle Paul prays for the Ephesians that God might give unto them. Oh, it's a gift of God, gift that God wants to give us these days as we tarry in his presence, something that we don't have ourselves naturally. Something that we can't get out of our own natures, and you can't get it anywhere in this world. It's got to come from heaven. The world cannot receive. He sealed him not, neither knoweth him. None of the princes of this world knew it, but ye see me. Oh, when God gives unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, you'll not be so dumb as to attach any importance to anything. Nothing at all. Praise God. One time we attached so much importance to our religious exercises, and we drowned ourselves in them. And that's the reason we got stuck. That's the reason every movement that God's called into being in this world has gotten stuck. That's the reason we have a cemetery full of tombstones erected to names of men and names of organizations and names of movements. But unto them that look for him, if he be grounded and settled in the faith and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. And what is that hope of the gospel? Every man that has this hope in him, why, we shall be like him. We're interested in him. And as they looked to him, their faces were lightened and they were not ashamed. And as you delight yourself in the Lord, oh, there is the true worship that God seeks. And when God has graciously given to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, why, beloved, that's life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. It lies in that knowledge, and the Spirit of God has come from heaven to make me know. This is the beginning of wisdom. This is eternal life, that they might know thee and Jesus Christ. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? And ought not Christ to have entered into his glory? What for? That he might purchase for us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The spirit that reveals to babes things that none of the wise and none of the prudent of this world know. No matter how they wriggle, no matter how they wallow in the mire of philosophy, in the muck of their own knowledge and their own esteem, they never get there. You and I will never get there until the Father is willing to reveal to me this great mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations. But now God would make known unto the saints what is the riches of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Oh, do you know what's in you? Do you know the fountain that is burst forth within you? Do you know the Son of Righteousness that has arisen within you? Gentile, yes. Dead in trespasses and sins, yes. But for his great love, wherewith he loved us, because of his unsearchable mercy, he has raised us up together with him. And I'll never be raised from the dead and never be seated in heavenly places until I recognize through the Holy Ghost that by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. But that faith does not become active and does not become effective until the Spirit of God has quickened my understanding. And I say, now everything is refuge, everything. I don't pay attention to anything anymore. I have discovered him. I have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. I have really found him, and I found out that he is he. He is himself. I found out that Jesus is Jesus, not only the crucified, but the one that's raised from the dead for my justification. I discovered that he is Alpha and Omega, beginning and ending. I found out that every need he supplies. Every good in him I see. And when I discovered that I was not able to praise God adequately, my praises fall flat. I stopped praising the Lord, and he began praising in me. Now I know it goes right through. And when I found out that my prayer was an abomination in the sight of God because it was produced by self, I stopped praying. And lo, there rose within me a mighty fountain. God came down from heaven to dwell within me and to pray God in my heart, praying to God in heaven. We know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit. And how does he do it? Oh, when I discover him, and when by faith I appropriate him. That's why these things are written, that you might know the things that are freely given to you of God, something that you absolutely need to be saved, something that everybody needs to please God, because without faith, it is impossible to please him. You can turn that around and say, but by real faith, it is possible to please him. Look how Enoch pleased God. How did he please God? There must have been some perfection in Enoch. How was it? By faith, he walked with God, and he was not, because God took him. There was one man among the thousands and millions that were at that time destroying the earth who had discovered the secret of Christ within. It was the Spirit of Christ within them that made them know these things whereof they prophesied. And beloved, they prophesied concerning things which they knew were provided for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. What have I discovered in Jesus? Oh, it is possible to live a life today that is so perfect before God that He is pleased with me. How can I live? I can't live that kind of a life. I can't even begin. But oh, when Jesus is the beginning, He is also the finisher, thank God. When I discover Jesus Christ and realize that He is the unspeakable gift, oh, my Father, then I'm glad to present this body a living sacrifice. You've heard that story of the master's touch. He was an auction sale, and the auctioneer held up an old fiddle, and he says, "What am I bid for this old piece of furniture?" And nobody wanted to bid. Who wants an old wooden box like that? But presently one said, $1. All right, I bid $1, $1, $1. Who'll make it $2? Somebody said, $2. All right, $2. I bid $2 for this violin. Who'll make it $3? Anybody here make it $3? Come on, come on. Nobody had the courage to make it $3. They didn't know whether it was worth $3 or not. Who'll say $3? Finally, somebody said, $3, $3, $3. All right. The fellow dropped his gable and wanted to say, gone, sold, when an old man in the back got up and walked up to the front, and he said, "Hey, let me have that fiddle for a minute." And he took it and he tuned the strings until they sounded like church bells, as clear and pure. And then he took the bow and he tightened it, and then he greased it like a good violinist does. And then he took that fiddle in masterful fashion, and then he drew that bow. Everybody gasped. Everybody was thrilled. And then he began to play a melody so pure until every eye was filled with tears. Now I'm telling this in evangelistic fashion because I don't remember the exact wording. But oh, you know what it means when a whole meeting of 1,000 people begins to sniff, sniff, boo. Everything was silent. And finally the auctioneer said, "Give me that fiddle." "What am I bid?" "1,000! 1,000! 1,000! 2,000! What am I bid? Come on, who'll make it $3? Somebody makes it $3,000. What it makes the difference? What makes the difference in you? Oh, good for nothing, Grandpa. What will make the difference in you? The master's touch. Oh, give Jesus Christ a chance. You'll never please God. You'll never make a sound worthy of the ears of Sabaoth, of the Almighty, until the Master, and He's purchased you with His own blood. Beloved, we're bought with a price. Thank God. Glorify God. I've been bought with a... Oh, Jesus, I'm so glad that I belong to You. And I know it. How do I know that I belong to Jesus? Because I've given myself to Him. When He asked me, I said, "Okay, Lord." Glory to God. We've learned to sing, "Trust and obey, else you'll rust and decay." And you will. But oh, hallelujah, I know today that my prayer goes through and it pleases the Father, else He wouldn't answer it. Sometimes before I call, He answers. How many times that happens? I know that my praises go through, thank God, and I know that every step of my way is appointed by the Lord. And I know that every trial of mine has already been provided for by the great champion of heaven. I know that all things work together for good, but to those that love God. And as long as I love myself, there was a time when I loved my prayer spirit and my zeal. I was like Peter. I said, "Yes, I know the rest of them will deny You. I know that. I know them. They're good for nothing. But me, no, sir. Not me. I made up my mind that I would do God's will, cost what it will." And I got infatuated with my zeal, quietly, without recognizing it. And I became a lover of my love for Jesus.
And when the Lord began to strip me of all that and make me see myself as I was in His sight, and I recognized that my very love for Jesus was not acceptable in His sight anymore, then the sacrifice brought by Cain, who slew his brother. Why do we become proud of our spirituality? Why? Because the spirit of Cain is in us. We're bearing the mark of the beast. Who is going to deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, I count all but refuse. Hallelujah. There is one come to me, and he stood at my heart's door with sunshine and rain and begged an entrance to gaze. And when I opened the door and confessed that without him, all my zeal and all my self-inflicted spirituality was wretchedness, misery, poverty, blindness, nakedness. And I said, oh, God, he said, I'll give you gold. Tried in the fire that you may be rich. Beloved, delight thyself also in the Lord. You need him. You need the Lord. You need a righteousness that is not your own. You need one that God Almighty provided and made himself when he was made sin for us. That's why we glory in the cross, because the cross fell the death sentence to all flesh. And when I accept the death sentence of the cross, I will discover that God raised that same Jesus who, because of my sin, was crucified from the dead and justified him. And when he justified him, he justified me and made me eligible for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Oh, the Spirit of truth, who guides me into all truth. And now my whole business in life is to be devoted to Jesus, is to pay attention to Jesus in that moment. I don't dare take one step alone. I'm still in enemy's country, and there are mines laid, and Jesus alone knows the way that saves me from destruction. He knows the way. Listen, he is the way. Oh, how he binds me to himself. Oh, how he makes me dependent on him entirely. Ich kann allein nicht gehen, nicht einen Schritt, beloved. That alone is true humility. And when you have acquired the true humility, you will never get proud of your humility. It's a byproduct of being delighting yourself also in the Lord. Hallelujah. Self-denial. You'll never pride yourself of denying yourself like people do when they get up and tell how much they fast. And with a woe-begone voice, they tell us how, well, I guess I have to die. They ain't dead. Oh, no, that monkey is only getting fatter. But when you delight yourself in the Lord, there's a shout of a king. Hallelujah. The king is within you. And the shout of a king and everything within you praises the Lord. Glory to God. That's perfect love also. Because now you're not in love with anything that passes away and anything that can defeat you and can disappoint you. Now you're in love with him who alone is lovely, who himself is love, and who has united you to himself, and who inspires your heart. Oh, delight thyself also in the Lord. You know why we don't do that readily? Because the way is the way of real crucifixion. The king will stand for no idolatry. Their God is their belly. They mind earthly things. But I have been crucified with Christ. Glory. What do you do with a crucified person? Why, you bury them. Glory to God. Said, oh, Silas down in Fredericksburg, when somebody said, I heard you buried your wife. He said, I have to. She was dead. And when somebody's dead, you have to bury them. Bury them out of sight, thank God. Forget about them. Deny him. I don't know how many thousand times I've told one of my stories. I'm not a storyteller, you know, but God, in his great mercy, saw that I was not able to go to Bible school to learn how to preach. And so he put me into his own school.
took me a long time to find out what philosophy meant. I used to think that it had something to do with the heart, but now I found out it means to be in love with Sophie. So, doctor of philosophy. But God put me through school, and when I was a boy, I had to learn how to play the fiddle. And I saw one day in the house of a friend a music stand made of wood. It had two places for a duet could be played on it. So I took the measurements and I went home. And I got some old lumber and I got some rusty nails. I took a hammer and my father's hammer had only half a handle. But anyway, that's all I had. And I straightened out these nails and I got an old saw and I started working. I needed a music stand. I really needed it. I had the fiddle, but I had no music stand. My sister didn't like it when I put my music on the organ. And you know when you have four sisters, boy, your crucifixion is fourfold. But anyway, I got to work. And say I worked hard. I still remember that, how I labored over that music stand until I had that antediluvian monster where I thought now I could dedicate it. And I called all my friends together to the day of dedication. I called a boy from the next town who also played the violin or scratched the fiddle. And we were going to play a duet for the benefit of our friends on this dedication day of my masterpiece. It was a masterpiece. I tell you, it took something to lug it up to the second floor where we lived. It was heavy, almost like this pulpit. And the wonderful thing was this. It was perfect, but only I saw the perfection. Nobody else could see it. I knew just how to close my eyes and then look at it from the side like this. Perfect lines. I was proud of it. Proud of it. You know, like you are proud of yourself and your attainment. You know just how to look at yourself. Others don't. You can't see why they find fault with you. But when you close both your eyes, my, you're perfect, aren't you? Only everybody else would do that. But here, we had our music stand and we put the music there. We squeezed our bows and we put our Mozart there. And so now we were just going to start playing this beautiful duet. When a lady, Nat, real lady, got the idea that she was thirsty. And she said, "Hunt, please, get me a glass of water." Something was boiling on the inside of me, but being a minister, son, you know, I didn't dare get mad outwardly. So I put on a smile, and I went out to get a glass of water. And when I came back and opened the door, I almost fell through the floor. My music stand, my masterpiece was gone. And in place of it, there was a beautiful gold-plated music stand standing right where my music stand had stood. I couldn't believe my eyes. I remember making an exclamation that made everybody laugh because I was just delirious. Delirious with joy. I needed the music stand so badly, but I never dreamed that God would provide one for me, and so I made one myself. And the wonderful thing was, and this is the lesson that God taught me, from that moment on, I forgot all about my masterpiece. I didn't want to, it looked so perfect. It looked so rotten. What a pushwork. I didn't want to smell it anymore. And I don't know what became of it, and never asked until about 40 years later when I got to Switzerland. I said, now what? It came to my mind. God used it as an illustration for me. Delight thyself also in the Lord. You don't have to delight yourself in your own masterpiece anymore. God says, deny it. Deny it. Oh, what joy to deny it. And then when I thought of it, I said, now what in the world happened? From that moment on when I saw this beautiful music stand, I forgot all about my masterpiece, no matter how much sweat and blood and tears it had cost me. That was all forgotten. Glory to God. Delight thyself in the Lord. Oh, listen, you're wasting your time if you delight yourself in anything else. But when you get acquainted with your Lord, you'll find all and in all and all and in all all that you can possibly need for past, present, and future throughout the ages of eternity, provided in Jesus Christ. And when you see him, you'll find out that you have no more desires for anything else. He'll give you the desires of your heart that will spring up within you, desires by the Holy Ghost. That's what he means when he says, the Spirit himself maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What kind of intercession is that? Why, the Spirit takes over your thoughts, your words, your feelings, your actions. All are subdued and become subject to his thoughts, his feelings, his actions, his wise, eternal purposes and plans. And instead of being concerned, I've known people that have prayed over corns on their toes for weeks. Oh, cut it out. Say, thy kingdom come, and your corns will disappear before you know. Delight thyself in the Lord. Isn't he wonderful? Tell me, isn't he wonderful? Oh, isn't Jesus wonderful? Glory to God. Glory to God. I tell you, God Almighty has something for us that is perfectly stupendous if we stop wasting our time and we abandon ourselves to the present indwelling. What does he say? He is able by his working to subdue all things unto himself. Someone complained Sunday night. We've had some very wonderful prayer meetings. Last night's prayer meeting was stupendous to me. Because God, the minute I came into the place downstairs, the Lord covered me with his mantle. Oh, I'm jealous of my Lord. I'm jealous of these moments of blessing when God works within and makes you know that he is working within. But you know, most people don't know that unless they do something. They think nothing is done. And somebody complained about the meeting on Sunday night. As long as the organ played, people prayed. They hummed along. Some people keep yodeling all the time. They like it. But as soon as the organ stopped playing, people got up and walked out. During the most marvelous outpouring of the Holy Ghost, because it was quiet and because God took over and said, now keep still, let me do it. We have no heart for Jesus. Beloved, we need to fall in love with Jesus by faith, not by feeling. And when we do that, we'll find out that Jesus Christ is all the Bible says he is. And he'll do all that the Bible says he'll do, thank God. And he'll do it differently from the way you would do it. It isn't until you cease from your own work because you recognize that he has power to subdue all things unto himself. How quickly our health would spring forth. But we fuss and fume and we run from Bosworth to Wigglesworth and from Brenham to Oral Roberts and get nothing. And if you'd run into the arms of Jesus, you'd have Jesus Christ, whether you're healthy or not. It's better to be a cripple and know Jesus Christ than to have a healthy body and not know him. But oh, this mystery, to whom God would make known. Beloved, there are schools kept in New York and in all this country today that will teach people. I've known students that will go to school and pay thousands of dollars to learn how to build rockets or radios or radar instruments or something like that. And they can make a lot of money when they've gone through school like that. But where is there a school like this school